Mr. Snyder, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. May I please depart? Counsel, my name is Mike Snyder, and I represent Robert and Veronica. They are the parents of these three juveniles who were adjudicated under subsection 3A of the juvenile statute back in February of 2016. After that adjudication order was entered, the adjudication was appealed. And while in the adjudication order that was appealed, there was a provision that said that the children were supposed to have some educational testing by the educational service unit. So Robert and Veronica appealed that order, and while that order was on appeal, the state filed a motion to have Robert and Veronica held in contempt, along with DHHS held in contempt, because they wouldn't sign the forms to authorize ESU to do the educational testing. So at the contempt hearing, and this is the order that we're appealing from here, the county court entered an order appointing an educational surrogate. And the authority for the appointment of an educational surrogate is under section 79-1161, and the regs are under 92-52-009.04.
Did the judge's order appointing the educational surrogate say anything about suspending the parents' rights?
What it says is the educational surrogate shall, for the minor child, shall have all educational rights for the minor child.
But did it suspend the parents' rights?
That would be a matter of interpretation, Your Honor. My interpretation would be if I have something and what I have is given to someone else, I probably no longer have it. The fundamental right here is the right to educate your children. And when that's given to someone else, I don't know if it's a suspension or not.
What can we tell about the duration of this appointment from the court's order or the court's comments?
What we can tell is that the duration is indefinite. That all of the educational rights for the minor children are given to the educational surrogate. So under the statute, section 791161, that appointment will continue until it is terminated either by the Board of Education for the school district or by the county court. So it's not an order that temporarily suspends it.
How does the Board of Education terminate it?
Pardon me?
How does the Board of Education terminate it?
You know, Judge, frankly, I don't know. I've never heard of an educational surrogate in my life before this case. So,
what's the current status of the educational surrogate in this case?
She is still appointed because the order that our appeal does not stay that order. So she is appointed as an educational surrogate.
What alternatives did the judge have based on your client's actions?
Well, the judge could have done what I think should be done in a contempt citation, and that is to allow the parents an opportunity to purge their contempt.
The judge didn't find anyone in contempt in this case. Why would a purge order be necessary when there was no underlying finding of contempt?
Well, that's the other thing that I think is wrong about this, the appointment of the educational surrogate, is that when these parents walked into the courtroom, they had no way of knowing. There was no notice that they were looking at the appointment of an educational surrogate or the suspension of their educational rights.
What were they alleged to be in contempt of failing to do?
Or failing to sign the forms to permit the testing. According to the
so
record.
So they knew this education issue was on the table.
Right.
And that was ordered by the court.
That was ordered by the court in the February order.
So they were put on notice. They knew they were being brought in based on the failure to sign.
Yes, they do know that. So, in my opinion, it would have been proper for the county court to issue some sort of a purge order. I mean, this is a contempt motion. This is not a motion to appoint an educational surrogate. It's a contempt motion. It's a contempt citation where they are ordered to show cause where they should not be held in contempt. In my opinion, the county court should have said that an education level surrogate would be appointed temporarily to sign these forms if by such and such a date the parents have not signed the form. According to the evidence, the parents did sign the forms, but apparently they qualified their signature somehow, and so the ESU felt that they did not have
valid consent. Were they found in contempt?
I beg your pardon?
Were they found in contempt?
No.
But you're arguing here that really the court ought to have found them in contempt, and then the court could have done what it did.
I think so. I think the court could have entered an order that told them that, a typical perjurer, that if you don't do this, a certain thing, then this is what's going to happen.
In the absence of a finding of contempt, is this your argument? In the absence of a finding of contempt, the court had no, pick the word, authority to enter the educational specialist order.
Right. I think the court's jurisdiction, because it's on appeal, I think their jurisdiction is supervision.
To ensure that the children's best interests are being met during the appeal time, is that correct?
I don't know what that means. I think it's the jurisdiction is supervision. And
well, are you in agreement, or is this a correct statement of the law that if there's an appeal pending, the juvenile court can still do things?
They can supervise.
Okay.
Can't they also enforce any order entered by the county court? Doesn't the statute expressly give the juvenile court authority to enforce its own orders while a case is on appeal?
I think it can, yes.
And wasn't a contempt hearing and a hearing on an order to show cause an effort at enforcement?
I think it was. But I don't think that at a contempt hearing that parents who are ordered to show cause why they shouldn't be held in contempt, in a civil contempt, I don't think that the contempt order, that the order, I don't think that the order should be anything other than one that is a purge order. Otherwise, it's a punitive order and not like a civil contempt should be.
Is Section 79-1161, and in particular subsection 1 thereof, the sole statutory authorization for a juvenile court to appoint an educational surrogate?
It is, in my opinion. Under my searches, Judge, Your Honor, I have never seen anything on an educational surrogate other than this one statute.
Have you assigned error in this appeal to the court's authority to appoint a surrogate or challenge the statutory authority under which the court appointed the surrogate?
I don't challenge that authority. What I challenge is that the jurisdiction to supervise does not go as high as to allow the court to appoint an educational surrogate for an indefinite period of time.
By appointing an educational surrogate in this case, was the court effectively finding a way to enforce its order that the assessments take place?
I'm sure it was.
Was there discussion about this statute at the hearing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Pierce, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Bill Pierce. I'm county attorney in Garden County and represent the state in this matter. I'd like to clear up a little bit on this because if you're looking at the memorandum opinion, it looks like this whole matter came before the court because of the lack of use of car seats by the parents. This was actually a full-day trial in the adjudication hearing where there was much evidence adduced by the state on the lack of ability of the children to communicate. We had an expert, that speech pathologist from the SU, who testified that she, even though the oldest girl had been found earlier to have some language disabilities and was in a program, the parents then removed her from the program. She refused to testify that the motion for the assessment, and that judge didn't pull that out of his hat. There was a reason for that. It doesn't really show when you look at the memorandum of opinion of the earlier case.
How old were the children?
5, 3, and 2.
And so there was indications from their speech or whatever that they weren't getting appropriate language learning in the home or wherever?
There was testimony that the children basically grunt to each other. There was also testimony that's from other people who said that they heard the children say, "Mom," or "Okay," or "Thank you." But the oldest daughter was at that time 5 years old. There was
this is a critical period of time for children to learn, isn't it?
I'm not sure I know. I do know this much. We have limited association with these children, except when law enforcement. They're isolated out in the hills in Garden County. The two youngest children were very seldom seen by anyone. The oldest daughter, she was seen, it was usually with law enforcement involvement. And the law enforcement had contacted me various times about their concerns with the language. So even though the adjudication was not on speech, there was certainly a concern with the court. Then when we have the hearing for the surrogate, that was a contempt filed by myself simply because I couldn't get anybody to sign the form. Then the counsel at that time for the parents did get them to sign a form which the ESU declared was not good enough for them to proceed. And
what was the problem with the form? Remind me.
For one place, they said that they were signed under duress or threatened.
Thank you.
And then there was parts marked out that said no. Remember, this is just for an evaluation. And I'm like Mr. Snyder, and I think the court never heard of an educational surrogate before. Wasn't sure how we're going about that. And the defense counsel at that same time also said that. And the guardian ad litem said it. We don't know what this is, and we'd never heard of an educational surrogate until we got to trial. That's the reason that came up, and that's the reason the court was frustrated, I think, and all of us were, because we needed to get that assessment for these children.
When you say trial, you mean the hearing on the contempt citation.
Correct. I'm sorry. It was a hearing. We were frustrated because we could not seem to move forward on this assessment. A simple assessment, it could tell us a lot whether the children are disabled. If you look at the statute for the appointment of the surrogate, it says that the school can do the surrogate if they find that the child is disabled. We're in a catch-21. If we can't get that assessment, we don't know if the children are disabled or not.
The product of that assessment or the product of the eval, would that necessarily determine if they were otherwise disabled?
I think it would be helpful in that. And by the way, the assessments have been done. They have not been used, and there's been a dispositional hearing in this. They have been not used, nor have they been provided to the court.
And I'm trying to fit that because you have children of different ages, and you're all, I believe that there's a range of expectation of language skills, but they would be different with these different children. Does that matter?
It certainly does matter, and that's the way the evaluation apparently or the assessment
would be age-appropriate eval.
Age-related.
Okay.
Is there any suggestion in the order that it was for a temporary time as to the appointment or the continuance of this educational surrogate?
There was questioning by the guardian ad litem and myself, and there was discussion prior to that. Can we limit this? Can we limit this order of the court? And the problem with that is we've got the ESU over here. Ms. Barrett is saying, we don't want any qualified consents. So if we qualify the surrogate, are we going with qualified consent?
So the
order, there was some discussion.
The order on its face, though, is of indefinite duration.
Well, it can only last as long as the proceedings go, and we have to remember, at least I remember, that the only thing that the surrogate could do, in my opinion, was to get that assessment. There's another form that has to be signed. It would have to be signed by the parents or the surrogate. to give a further extension for the education. That's my confusion on this whole thing. We asked for an assessment, not for the education.
I beg your pardon. Is that naturally the first step?
The assessment? Sure.
Does the order limit it to just the assessment?
No, it does not.
You think the order leaves any parental discretion regarding education in the hands of the parents? For example, could they withhold consent for further evaluation? Could they withhold consent for treatment by the school or educational service unit?
I do not know. This is new to me, and I think it's new to most everyone I've visited with on the educational circuit. How far does it go? Where does it stop?
Is it naturally limited to doing an evaluation and then you decide next steps?
I think that the surrogate would be stepping over the line if she did anything but sign the assessment. The court had not ordered anything.
You do an assessment and then you do determine next steps.
That's correct. And that would probably be
consistent with Justice Castle's, but is that a natural limitation then on this order?
I'm not sure what a natural limitation is.
Wasn't there some discussion on the record about whether didn't the judge suggest something like, I'm not going to limit it because I don't want to be back here in another month or two on this same kind of issue?
That was almost a quote.
Yeah.
A constant thing that's going on. And the judge also encouraged the parents to go ahead and sign consent.
In section 791161 sub 1, talks about school districts establishing and maintaining procedures to protect the rights of a child with a disability, then goes on to talk about the appointment of a surrogate. Doesn't the connection there at least imply that the surrogate would have whatever authority is necessary to protect the rights of a child with a disability?
The problem with that one is that's the school district after they find a disability. Again, the statute isn't clear, in my mind, what we do when the court appoints the surrogate, and whether it's required to find a disability first, because the school district's required to find a disability. We don't have that. We don't know that.
I'm back where I was a little confused. Does this assessment determine disability, or would it assess skill level?
It would. There's apparently, from what I can understand, there would be several people that will, almost like a committee that comes together and looks at all the issues, the speech, the mental ability, is there disabilities outside of that? Is it just a lack of environment? Do the parents not talk to the kids? This whole thing is done in the assessment.
Thank you.
So I don't know exactly what it will show.
But subdivision 3 of that statute speaks to when the services of a surrogate shall be terminated, and those are pretty extensive. And when the child is no longer eligible, a conflict of interest develops between the interest of the child and the interest of the surrogate, or the surrogate fails to fulfill his or her duties. That sounds like a long time.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
There is 1:25.
1 minute and 25 seconds. Mr. Snyder.
Thank you, Your Honor. As to the issue of how long this appointment of the surrogate continues, in subsection 3 of 791161, it goes on to say that issues, and I'll paraphrase, issues arising from the selection, appointment, or removal of a surrogate by a parent by a school district shall be resolved through hearings established under these statutes, 1162 to 1167. So it appears that if and when the surrogate is terminated, it will be terminated through a hearing process that's set out by those terms of the
statute. So you think that sentence applies to a surrogate that's appointed by a trial judge pursuant to that sentence, the other sentence in the first, in subsection 1, in the case of a child who is a ward of the state?
I do.
You do. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The court will now take a short break. We'll be back at 10:45.